The Rochester rock band Joywave has a new album out this spring and a tour opening Friday here at the Dome Arena. WXXI's Jeff Spivak caught up with lead singer Daniel Armbruster.
All right, let's talk about the album. When's it come out?
Comes out Friday, March 13th, 2020.
Okay, well,
do you say 2020 or 2020?
I'm 2020, because yeah. It's a vision thing.
Yeah, I think you got to be.
Yeah, why did we need another Joywave album?
Oh, man, I was hoping that you could tell me.
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of the thing that I do in the world to feel okay about things. So I just naturally produce one every several years. I turn it into the record company, and then they decide if they want to release it or not, and they liked this one, so it's going to be released.
So it's kind of like a snake shedding its skin, you know, you kind of...
It really does feel like that.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. The problem is that we've already heard at least five of the songs.
Right.
So,
yeah.
Why?
Well, that's kind of a... where the industry has gone thing. Everybody binges everything, right? A new Netflix show comes out, you watch the whole series in one weekend. So I think the record companies now feel like if they kind of piecemeal the things out, that they last longer. So they view it, and I don't necessarily personally agree with this, but they view it as the release of the album is the end of the album campaign, whereas it used to be the album release was step one, right? And then you work singles from it along the way over a year or 2 years afterwards. So it's later in the process now, which is weird. But I don't really listen to singles that come out because they come out so frequently. So I always wait till an album comes out.
So the record industry has been doing it wrong for about 80 years.
It's possible. Oh, or something came along and disrupted it, whatever that was.
All right. Let's go over to some of the songs. Blast Off. What's that all about?
It's kind of about the stopping and starting of our lives. It's this really difficult thing to adjust to going on tour constantly. It really feels like a bubble when you're on the road. You come back and your friends have had kids or changed jobs or things have changed in their lives, and you're like, oh, every single day of mine was exactly the same. I went out and did the same show, and it's kind of weird to come in and out of.
All right, Like a Kennedy.
My head is swelling like a Kennedy. I won't be afraid. I won't be afraid.
That the video is startling.
Yeah.
Basically, it's a very surreal look at the Kennedy assassination.
Yes.
What's the message there? I can take a guess, but you tell me.
Yeah, it's really about cyclical violence. You basically watch the same event happen over and over and over again, and it's obviously a fictionalized version of the events because the people in the car don't react. They're not surprised that it happens again and again and again, and kind of by the end, the violence has spread. Were you personally offended by it, or did you enjoy it?
I enjoyed it. It was extremely thoughtful, especially at the end.
Yeah.
When the actress playing his wife is the one who was shot.
Yeah.
And I thought, would that have changed how we look at the assassination if Jackie had been shot?
Very possibly.
Mm-hmm.
You're right at the cutoff age for, I think, people older than you hate it. And they're like, how could you have taken this sacred event and shown it in a different way, and people younger than you really like it.
Don't you think we have a right to take historical events?
I think they belong. Yeah, I think they belong to all of us too, yeah. Right?
Obsession.
That song is really about how I feel the need to focus on things to distract myself from others. I've learned, I think, through that song that I have a lot of OCD tendencies.
What is an example of your OCD tendencies?
I really can't get off of, this is a great therapy session now, thank you.
I'm here to help.
I can't get off of a negative thought, ever. I obsess over it, and no matter how much I'm like, wow, that person's, Jeff's mean words about my record really don't mean anything, right? And still, I like put some amount of weight to it, and I can't stop thinking about it. And I also run through a lot of scenarios that are fictionalized, like a disagreement that I think I could have with a person, I will have to like 10 levels down. I will have that conversation and disagreement with that person in my head, and it hasn't even happened. And it might not exist at all. I just go and go and go, and I have a hard time getting out of that. That's bad, huh?
Well, I think you should take seriously all critical comments.
and let it affect my future art. Right, that's how you get something good.
Blank slate.
Let me take a little bite. Blank slate is about being open to change and not being afraid of that. Specifically, like in a relationship with another person, like letting your guard down and being open to compromise and change.
So it's a relationship song?
Kind of. Yeah, for me it is. Yeah.
Half your age. You know what? That song seems kind of the opposite of what you're used to hearing.
It is. It's kind of a silly song coming from me as someone who like beat the odds, but like really worked at it for a long time to do it. But the song is about misplaced resiliency. So it's like people who are trying to accomplish these great things, but like you might actually just not be that good at it, or maybe it's just not gonna happen for you and there's something else, like your passions might lead you to the thing that you're supposed to be doing, but like just because I love hockey doesn't mean that I should be a professional hockey player. You know, maybe I should be a musician. Those don't really go together, but you see what I'm saying.
Yeah, you have good teeth.
I went to the dentist this morning. I really appreciate that comment.
There was a Simpson episode where Homer says to Bart, it's okay if you just quit.
It is, yeah.
The song I have not heard but I need to know about is Mr. Eastman.
Mr. Eastman. That song is kind of a conversation with myself, but also with a fictionalized version of George Eastman as like being a Rochesterian who has gone to this like heightened place, right? Of like you're special. And it's so the opposite of the way that I was raised, where my parents were very much like, you know, don't talk about yourself. It's been difficult for me to over the years like learn how to even do an interview, right? Because you ask me something and I'm like, oh, who cares what I think or who cares what I have to say? So my responses in the early days would be, I'm good. Thanks. Okay, bye. You know, just no information. And it's a different way of thinking that is at odds with the idea of humility, which is how I was raised.
So Mr. Eastman is about grand things that...
Yeah, it's about, like, becoming more than your parents' kid, or, like, just, like you mean more to more people, right? So, like, our fans feel a sense of ownership over me and what I do, and they feel like they really know me, and so do my parents, right? And they have to, like, kind of accept that I belong to more people than them, and I need to be open to that, too. I guess.
And they're cool with that?
Yeah, I think so. Mm-hmm. I mean, my parents are pretty cool.
And then, yeah, I met them.
Yeah.
They're very nice.
They're very nice.
Cleveland Indians fans, too.
Yeah.
It's amazing. And my work is done. Why wait?
Yeah, not that part yet.
Not that part yet. Okay. You guys are carving out a career as a comedy troupe as well. The videos are great.
Thank you.
I don't know where they're getting you, but... It seems like you're producing more and more offbeat, crazy videos for just no reason at all.
It's really fun, and growing up, we always hated the music videos where the band rocks really hard and the like room starts shaking. I mean, the idea of a music video is kind of ridiculous to begin with, right? You're like miming the song. So why not make something fun?
And you're mocking yourselves most of the time.
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. Probably something that I should see a therapist about.
Self-esteem problems.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, well.
Absolutely.
How did the last tour go? Anything strange happen?
What was that one? That was the one with Bastille. It was amazing. They were nice to us for 6 weeks straight, so that was weird. But they were very open to various level of hijinks on stage, which I appreciated. I kind of like to, when we're opening, I like to push buttons a little bit and see what I can get away with you know, mispronouncing the headline act's name on purpose. Things like that, just little things at first. And usually either get some pushback of like, hey, you know, you're the opener, you need to calm down here. But in this case, they really embraced it. And they were like, please make fun of us more on stage, which I loved. So it kind of went unreciprocated for a long time, and then on stage at the Greek Theater in LA, the singer of Bastille ran out and tickled me in the middle of one of our songs to mess with our set, which was amazing because I definitely deserved it.
You'd never been tickled before, huh?
That's the first time there'd been a live tickling at one of our shows.
I'm astonished to hear that. Okay, so coming up, I looked at your website, and it looks like all the shows in Europe are sold out.
Yeah.
What is it with Rochester and Europe?
Well, I wish that we could take credit for that, but the headline act is a band called Paris. They're from, I think they're from Boston area originally. They do really well in the U.S., but they do really, 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 really well in Europe. So the singer came to Rochester a year and a half ago, and she'd started this song and brought it to me. We had met at a show a long time ago, and she wanted me to help with the production and stuff. So she came to Rochester for a couple days. We worked on it, and I said, hey, since you guys are really famous in Europe, do you think you could maybe take us on tour? And she said, yes. So this is the conclusion of our couple days spent at our studio in Rochester.
What was your best TV experience?
Personally, it was doing Stephen Colbert's show, just because I was such a fan of him. And I remember I worked retail at Staples for many, many years. Yeah. And I would get out of work, sit on the couch, and watch the Colbert Report. And it was kind of the only thing that made me laugh in those days, where I was like, what did I do wrong with my life? Like, you know, I really wanted this music thing to work out, and I'm just working part-time at Staples and still living with my parents in my mid-20s. And so I really loved the show. And I remember he would occasionally have artists on. And I was like, just the idea of like playing on his show someday would be so cool. He had, did you watch the Colbert Report?
Yeah, I did.
Do you remember when he broke his wrist and he had the wrist strong bracelets?
No, I don't remember that.
So remember the Live Strong Lance Armstrong ones, mm-hmm, to raise awareness? Mm-hmm. So he had these red ones where they were called Wrist Strong, and it was to raise awareness for wrist injuries. And yes, it was amazing. And the rules of it were, if you met someone more famous than you, you had to give them the wristband to raise the awareness, right? So it keeps moving up. As soon as you meet someone more famous than you, you have to give up your Wrist Strong bracelet. I had one of those bracelets, so I wore it, and he came over and he shakes my hand, he sees it, and he goes, no f***ing way, because it's from 15 years ago. So I was like, you're more famous than me. He goes, you're right. So he takes it, he puts it on, and then when he's holding our record on screen introducing us, he's got the little Wrist Strong bracelet, and he does like a little dangle of it.
So looking ahead to the tour, besides the fact that you're all sold out in Europe, what are you looking forward to?
I'm looking forward to playing the new songs live. We haven't done a headline tour in a while. The last one we did was a co-headline tour, so it was us and a band called Sir Sly, where we would kind of trade every night, and that was the fall of 2018, so it'll be nice to do a full run that's really just us. You get to play longer. People know all the songs. They sing them back to you. There's a lot of advantages.
They sing it back to you?
Yeah.
What does that feel like?
I don't know. I don't know how to describe it. It's definitely the best part about playing live. Like, I like writing songs and spending time in the studio more than playing live generally. But those moments are definitely, you know, you get chills and you remember why you're on tour all the time.
This is the greatest song ever written. It's beautiful. Hit me again, buddy.
Anything else we need to know about the Joy Waiver, the tour, or anything?
No. Do you want to talk about the Dome Show?
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Wow. Oh, my God. All right. Hire me. I want to work here. The Dome Show, it's at the Dome, which they've redone now.
Yeah, I've heard it sounds great in there now.
It should be cool. It's a zone show. It's their Rovers holiday hangover thing. Joywave is playing. Some other people are playing. Should be it should be a good one.
All right, that's good enough for me.